Open in our first scriptures, and then we'll pray the Lord to help us with the message this evening. So our first scriptures are Philippians chapter 2, verses 12 to 13. Wherefore, my beloved, as ye have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. For it is God which worketh in you both to will and to do of his good pleasure. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for your word, Lord. Thank you for the time in our lives that you give us to study it, Lord, and to contemplate it. Father, we pray that we don't take it lightly, Lord, that we always find something new to help us to grow closer to you. Help us, Lord, as we consider what you have to say to us tonight, and that we would ponder the things that you speak to us through your word as we go about our lives during the week. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Tonight's message is entitled, God Trieth the Reins. This message began as something of a word study. I was interested in the word used in the Bible, which often seems to refer to the inner part of man, which controls his actions, the mind, which wills, where a person will go, what they will do. That word is the reins. It appears in the Hebrew as kilya. I hope I'm pronouncing that properly. I'm not much of a Hebrew scholar. And the word can also mean kidneys, the vital organs. So when you're reading scripture in Job, for instance, this meaning might make it a little bit clearer. Makes the scripture easier to understand where the word kidney is being used. But generally, the word reins are speaking of the willing self. Just as a horse's reins are used to steer the animal, our reins control our behavior. So that begs the question for every person, who is holding our reins? Loved ones, when we read the scriptures, it is clear that we are always and only the servants of someone or something. We cannot choose to not be servants. But we do have a choice about whom or what we serve. Will you turn with me, please, to Romans chapter 6, verses 16 to 23. Romans chapter 6, 16 to 23. Know ye not that to whom ye yield yourselves servants to obey, his servants ye are to whom ye obey, whether of sin unto death, or of obedience unto righteousness? But God be thanked, that ye were the servants of sin, but ye have obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine which was delivered you. Being then made free from sin, ye became the servants of righteousness. I speak after the manner of men, because of the infirmity of your flesh. For as ye have yielded your members servants to uncleanness and to iniquity unto iniquity, even so now yield your members servants to righteousness unto holiness. For when ye were servants of sin, ye were free from righteousness. What fruit had ye then in those things whereof ye are now ashamed? For the end of those things is death. But now being made free from sin, and become servants to God, ye have your fruit unto holiness, and the end everlasting life. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. The Greek word for servant in these verses, and indeed many verses in the Bible, is doulos. It's a very interesting word when you study it. Servant is perhaps, in our modern language, a little weak at conveying the real meaning of this word, the real position of it. Doulos was always understood in the Greek by its native users to mean a slave. Bought and sold, compelled to follow, a slave. Much as a horse is slave to the directions of its rider who wields its reins, we are submitted to a power beyond ourselves who determines for us what we shall do. You are not your own master. Okay? And when I said before that you can choose your master, that is either God or the devil. Those are your two choices. When the Bible speaks of people, it speaks of sheep, it speaks of grapevines and fruit trees, even of clay pots. Friends, these are not at all autonomous creatures when you consider the nature of man's experience in the world. These things don't have much choice. Jesus said in Luke chapter 17, verses 7 to 10, and we'll turn there in a minute, that the servant, the slave, ought not to expect any special treatment, but must be fully committed to their master, putting his needs before their own, and that without question or complaint. That's Luke chapter 17, verses 7 to 10. But which of you, having a servant ploughing or feeding cattle, will say unto him by and by, when he is come in from the field, go and sit down to meat, and will not rather say unto him, make ready wherewith I may sup, and gird thyself, and serve me, till I have eaten and drunken, and afterward thou shalt eat and drink? Doth he thank that servant because he did the things which that were commanded him? I trow not. So likewise ye, when ye shall have done all those things which are commanded, you say, we are unprofitable servants. We have done that which was our duty to do. This is the level of servitude we are talking about, the level of control our Master, the Lord Jesus Christ, has over us. But it is not a bad position to be in if we have the right Master. Our Lord Jesus Christ was fully submitted to the Father in a like manner. He too is called the servant of the Lord. Our next scripture, if you turn with me, is Matthew 11, verses 28 to 30. This is the Lord offering servitude to him. Come unto me, all ye that labour and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you, and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. For my yoke is easy, and my burden is light. You see that word yoke? A yoke is a harness fitted to an ox, so a master can direct them to the ploughing of a field, which is the work the Lord himself spoke of us doing in Luke chapter 17 that we just read. He will give us that yoke in exchange for the heavy burden of sin we bear as fallen sinners, which Jesus would rather take upon himself, which he did unto death on the cross. But God wants us to hand over our reins voluntarily. Human effort accomplishes nothing. Flesh profiteth nothing, and we can do nothing for God without the prompting of the Holy Spirit, or our works will be vain. The Lord makes this explicit in John 15, 4-5. John chapter 15, verses 4-5. Abide in me, and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine. No more can ye, except ye abide in me. I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me, you can do nothing. We cannot even will it of ourselves, as we read in our opening scriptures, unless we have first submitted ourselves, yielded our members unto God's righteousness. This is where believers can make the mistake of being zealous to serve, but not having first committed themselves and their will to God. It is as simple as asking God the Father to lead you. Proverbs chapter 3, verses 5 to 6. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. This is an act that God will honour. Jesus himself deferred always to God's will. In the Garden of Gethsemane he prayed, nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done. And God predisposes us to do his will, the works which he has prepared for us ahead of time. You can be sure that the Lord has more worthy deeds rostered for us than anything we could ever find for ourselves. He worketh in us to will and to do. That was Philippians 2:13. It is our duty simply to work out what God is working in, that is, to make manifest the light of salvation that we carry within us, that the Lord has wrought, to make plain that we are his. It is a sign of hypocrisy if anyone praises him but has not yielded their lives unto Jesus Christ for salvation, or profess him as God but deny him as Lord by their very actions. They show that he has not received control over their whole lives by submitting in childlike trust. Jeremiah chapter 12, verses 1-3. Righteous art thou, O Lord, when I plead with thee, yet let me talk with thee of thy judgments. Wherefore doth the way of the wicked prosper? Wherefore are all they happy that deal very treacherously? Thou hast planted them, yea, they have taken root, they grow, yea, they bring forth fruit. Thou art near in their mouth and far from their reins. But thou, O Lord, knowest me. Thou hast seen me and tried mine heart toward thee. Pull them out like sheep for the slaughter and prepare them for the day of slaughter. You can imagine what kind of fruit these hypocrites bear that Jeremiah is speaking of. Let us as Christians instead ask the Lord to try our reins and move us to do his good pleasure just with some prayer. In Jeremiah chapter 17, verse 10, we'll close. I, the Lord, search the heart. I try the reins, even to give every man according to his ways and according to the fruit of his doings. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, for making it clear to us our nature, Lord, and who you ought to be to us, Father, a master in total control, Lord, we pray that we are yielded to you 24/7, Lord, every day of the week. We ask that you try our reins, Father, that you test us and you lead us in the way that you have decided beforehand for us, that we would be obedient and see much fruit in that. Pray that you bless everyone, Father, as they go about your business. In Jesus' name, amen.